Brother Minoru will share the first message and the third message, and less adequate brothers will share the second message. Amen. So we come to lesson 26, the coordination of the elders. This is the first of two on this topic, and Brother Minoru will share the second on this topic. So we are very much entering into some of the deeper aspects of what it means to be in the eldership. And that's one of the emphasis of this time, is we're talking right now about the eldership, not just elders or an elder, but the eldership is what the Lord uses for the building up of his church. We do know some of these things, but we have to realize there is a depth to them and there are practical applications of them that we need to enter into in a definite way. So the way we will share is I will share the entire message briefly, and then Brother Jim will follow up and highlight certain parts of that. I think that will be the best way to focus the burden of the message. Let us read the title, and then let us read Roman numeral 1.
The coordination of the elders, the elders being plural in number.
Okay, this is a very important matter in the scriptures. There is never a matter of having only one elder. It says, regardless even of how young a church is, there should be at least two or three elders. And there are some very remarkable statements here. I'll just highlight them. He says, if there is no coordination among the elders in a local church, regardless how strong an individual elder may be, his strength is of no avail. He said, it's very interesting. Strength without coordination is useless, whereas weakness with coordination is tolerable. Whenever coordination is missing among the elders, they will become worthless. Do you believe it? Well, probably you wouldn't dare to say that you don't believe it in this context. But in your experience, do you find this is the case? If you have some experience, you will find that this is the case. And the more mature you are, hopefully, then the more you realize this is actually the case. So, on the one hand, we all have to be perfected in our function. On the other hand, we are really needing to enter into something beyond ourselves. We need to enter into coordination with others. In the New Jerusalem, in eternity future, there won't be any problem. The only problem is now. So we all have to humble ourselves before the Lord and open ourselves before the brothers, that we realize we do need the other brothers. Amen. No matter how skillful, even no matter how experienced you are, we need the other brothers. Amen. Right? So this is an ironclad fact. Brother Minoru has mentioned this a few times. There are certain things that are just impossible to escape, and this is definitely one of them. Okay, let's read Roman numeral number 2.
The elders being a minister of the body.
This is a remarkable unveiling. I don't know if you've ever thought of this before. The elders themselves become kind of the smallest practical unit of the body. So that's one of the reasons the coordination and building together is so crucial. The elders are that miniature, and they have to be that miniature. It's not only a good idea, it's not only an interesting concept, it's a fact, a reality. If you want the church to be built up, and we must, we have to be the building first, right? So it says the church is the body of Christ, a local church is the expression of the body in a locality, and the elders in a local church are the miniature of that expressed body. This is crucial. Okay. So we have to recognize that if you you cannot have a built-up church without having the built-up elders. There is a... it says, the building and the coordination in the church are entirely in the hands of its elders, and they are dependent upon them. The elders must be the initiators and examples in the building of the church. So, if we do not have this, we will not have a way of building the church. Now, I don't know how it may be. Maybe there's some amazing overcomers that would get through regardless. But the church, corporately, cannot be built up unless we brothers are built up. So we have to recognize that this is not an option. It's not a matter of trying to tolerate one another and get along, you know. You know, we can learn how to be polite. You know, you can learn that even on your practical job in the world, you know. We can learn how to get along with people of different, you know, personalities and dispositions, and just for the sake of getting the job done, you'll get through somehow. But that's not good enough, brothers. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a genuine building together.
Amen.
And what a joy it is when you can go to a locality and see the elders are in such oneness and one accord, you just know that church is going to be built up. And likewise, properly speaking, if we do not have that kind of situation, even very good saints, seeking saints, it's hard for them to be built up if the elders are not built up. So you have more responsibility. That is really the case. So that is a clear, unmistakable principle, right? And we have to be such an example. And in that way, you know, if you just pause to think about it, you and the other brothers being built up together, you become that kind of miniature building, which is a wonderful pattern and example for all the saints. So may we be such ones. May we have that aspiration, and may we have that desire, and be willing to pay the price to be built up. We will get into that a little more here and also in the next message. Okay, now comes Roman numeral 3. Let's read this together.
The elders need to be able in everything.
Now, this has, both here in the outline and in the reading, it has a few statements that you may find a little bit odd. It starts off saying that, you know, you have to be capable in absolutely every area, capable in everything. You must be able to think, to endeavor, to oversee, to foresee, and to achieve, to protect, to resist, and to build. My goodness, you seem to have to be a Superman. But then it goes on to make it very clear that no one person is capable in everything. And what burden I have will be kind of growing out of this point. Brothers, there is both a necessity to be humbled before the Lord, and there is also the remarkable joy of not having to depend on what you can do. We are built up together.
Amen.
It is an eldership that is taking care of the church, not a group of individual elders alone. Okay. So we need to realize this, that no one of us is all-inclusive in our ability. Probably, to some degree, we realize this and recognize this. But we have to be coordinated because no one brother is capable in everything. So the member is not capable of everything, but the body is capable in everything.
Amen.
The eyes can only see, the ears can only hear, the hands can only work, the feet can walk. You can't force the eyes to walk. But together, in coordination, you can do so much. So we must have this view, right? It doesn't matter to be, even the Apostle Paul was certainly was a multi-talented brother, no question. Yet even he couldn't do everything, right? He needed the other brothers with him, right? And there were other apostles besides him. So we have to have this view. To meet all the needs in the church, the elders must be coordinated. So it should not be the case that people have a kind of expectation that they will do their part, you do your part, and that's it, you know. No, that may work in the world, but it does not manifest the Lord's organic way in the eldership of the body of Christ, in the body and locally. Also, you know, we can realize, it's very interesting, one of the examples given, some brothers have discernment more than others, right? But some may be, they're not warm. You need a brother who's warm to complement the brother who has the sharp discernment. But then the brother who is warm may be somewhat blind. He loves blindly. So he needs the brother who has discernment. So we need to have the complementary talents in the body. Don't expect that you will be all-inclusive. Okay? All right. Sometimes there's the one that you may have something you want to do. Maybe you want to take care of a brother, but then you fellowship with the other brothers first, and you realize that things you didn't think of, things that you didn't consider, the other brothers bring up. So instead of you just going off on your own, even to do such a necessary thing in the eldership as shepherding, you bring that to the other brothers. Then with their input, you can go to that brother, right? Or maybe you would even refrain from going to that brother based on their fellowship, right? Maybe another brother should go to him. So we need to have this view of a coordinated way in the eldership, right? So we do need to understand this, and we need to allow this. Then we have to realize, I really like that phrase, do not put too much trust in yourselves. You know, brothers, even my own father told me, I don't trust anyone fully, least of all myself. We need to understand that we are not that adequate. We need the body. And the Lord has made it so. You were made to be incomplete. You are incomplete. So am I, and so is everybody. The only one that's really complete is the Lord himself. Okay? So we just have to realize this. So we put this in the fellowship, then we can have a way. Also then, it's very interesting going on in the matter. We have we do see this, you know, when we are in coordination, we can meet the need. Then we have the manifold gifts. So this is also kind of interesting. There are many gifts the Lord gives to his members, and we need to recognize that. And it is like a family. I like this analogy very much. In a family, the parents have to be able to do everything in the house. They have to know how to cook, to sew, to wash, to iron, to fix up the house, to teach, to correspond. You can't rely on people outside your locality. Don't expect that you can get Brother Minoru to come to your locality every week to straighten out everything in your locality, much as we'd like it. We have to recognize that we need to take care of our family, okay? And so, but then you find the grace that instead of waiting for Brother Minoru to come once a year, within the group of brothers you are with already, there are the manifold gifts. There are the talents. They are there. We learn to appreciate and realize that those gifts are among us. How about that? So it's not just a matter, well, that brother always rubs me the wrong way, or that brother has no I just never like his opinions. You better begin to appreciate the other brothers. They have gifts. They have talents. And they make up for our lack. Together we can do all things. Right? Together we can do all things. When I was when we first bought our house many years ago, my wife wanted new light fixtures. Now, I've done other things, but I have never dealt with electricity, ever. And I always left it to others. But my wife said, well, my brother can do electrical light fixtures, why can't you? I said, well, I just don't want, it's a hazard and all this. Just try it. So I said, okay. So I was forced to learn to put in light fixtures and light switches because of the need of the household. And I discovered, to my great surprise and joy, that I could do it. And then after that, I did actually a number of electrical projects in my house, my mother's house, and so on. So we just have to not make any excuse. Don't wait for Brother Minoru or Brother Ron Kangas or another brother to come to your place. You can learn not only to put in a light fixture, but you can learn to do many things in your house. Not only the house that you live in with your wife and kids, but your house, the church.
Amen.
Right? We really have such a number of gifted ones among us. We need to uncover those talents and put them to use. Okay? So that is really something. Now, another matter here, it sounds obvious, but brothers, it's just true in practicality. It says number D there. Every elder in the church should know his own portion and respect others' portions. But listen, that second half is what I'm burdened about here also. Only in this way will the manifold gifts be manifested among the elders. We have to realize we may have a portion, but we need to respect others' portions. Our job is always to bring out others' portions. When we do that, what a joy to see the body come forth. Right? And then we see with the saints, right? You'll see some that can, just like that, service, administration, ministry of the word, life, teaching. All of these ways, we can see how good it is. The body begins to operate. So it needs to operate first among the elders. It may be easier sometimes to respect a common saint or other saint than it is your fellow elder. But we must do this. Then you will see the blessing.
Amen.
You will see the divine operation in the gifts of the other brothers.
Amen.
Right? So it comes to this. There's a part in the reading I really appreciate. We should feel it is a very sweet thing when a brother preaches the gospel and many are saved. When a brother says a few words and everyone is enlightened. We can say that it is a very sweet because not because I did it, but because others did it. It is not a question of me doing it or others doing it. It is a matter, the question is, whether or not there is such a thing in the church. If there is such a thing, whether it is done by me or by others, it is equally sweet. This is coordination.
Amen.
I should be faithful to contribute my portion. As for others' portion, I should not only honor them, but consider them to be sweet. I can praise the others' portions and will not despise even the smallest portion among them. This is truly the Lord's way. So we have to realize this is something that we do see and we want to raise up. The elders just need to take this way and the blessing will be full in the church and the spiritual riches will be manifested.
Amen.
And the building of the church will be in a solid way, and the coordination will be solid as well.
Amen.
Then I would like to share in the closing, let's read number 5.
The meaning of coordination.
Here comes kind of the central burden of this particular message. We need to realize that this is a way that we escape our individualism. And this is a way that we must escape that. I have a kind of personal, not only personal, but local testimony of this. We had a certain situation a few years ago where there was a brother who basically wanted to do everything himself and was open to talk to others. He wasn't that, you know, but basically he just wanted to do whatever he wanted to do. And this was very unfortunate. And what it did is it caused a real difficulty and issues in the church life. And that was, we tried our best, we tried to be open, tried to fellowship, but eventually it didn't work out so well. And here is a real merciful, I would say, grace-filled word for us, right? The coordination means that your portion is here, my portion is here, his portion is here, everyone's portion is here, all in coordination. So because the responsibility of the whole church rests on the shoulders of all the elders, there's the need for fellowship and coordination. Brothers, I want to mention a clear word about this. When the brothers are meeting together, it says, none should feel he is the responsible brother of a certain district or a certain meeting hall. Let me say a clear word based on our experience as well. This also means that there is no distinction between languages. There is no such thing as an English-speaking elder and a Chinese-speaking elder. There are only elders of the whole church.
Amen.
And I can testify before you all, when we practice that everyone is an elder of the whole church, even though they have particular areas where they work. And that's right. If I tried to work with the Chinese-speaking saints, my Chinese is pretty bad. My own kids criticize me. But my wife is Chinese. But she also criticized me. But if the Chinese-speaking brothers only care for the Chinese-speaking meeting, that is something missing. If the English-speaking brothers only care for the English-speaking saints, that is a lack. There is no such thing as an English-speaking elder and a Chinese-speaking elder.
Amen.
There are only elders of the entire church.
Amen.
I hope this is clear. We should not consider, even though we have different areas of work and responsibilities, some may work with college students, some may work with young people, some may work with other groups, children, but we all care for the church. And then here's the very precious part that I believe is such a help to all of us. No one should say that if he does it all, and if he does not do it, he will not have anything to do with it. That was our problem that we faced. Rather, everyone speaks, and every brother's portion is put into it. I may not be the one who is speaking today, but when one brother speaks, in his speaking, there is my opinion and my feeling. Although I do not make the arrangements and I'm not responsible for a certain district or hall, yet within that overseeing is my portion, because in some areas there is my view, my suggestions, and my fellowship. Okay. It does not mean that since a hall is not under my care, I will therefore not touch it at all. No. We have to see that the responsibility of the whole church rests on the shoulders of all the elders. Here is the need for fellowship and coordination. None of the elders should feel he is a responsible brother of a certain district or meeting hall. The elders should only feel that they are the responsible brothers of the whole church. All the elders are responsible ones of the church, and this is why all are coordinating and fellowshipping together. Okay? So, when a matter is fellowshipped thoroughly enough, the feeling of God is touched and the decision is made to do something. Maybe not all will do it. There has to be some distribution of the work. But some matters should be handled by you. Others' matters should be handled by me. But no matter who does what, we are all doing the things together.
Amen.
This is coordination. You are no longer separately, individualistically doing your own thing. You're not even just doing something with a little helpful advice from somebody else. There is a fellowship together, and all of the feeling, the thoughts, the sense from the Lord is put together in that fellowship. Then when a brother stands up to speak, he is speaking, uttering not his own idea, but the fellowship of all the brothers. That is coordination. When he's making, someone does arrangements and works out things, he's not just doing his own, but he's doing the arrangements with the input of all the brothers, and all the brothers are represented in those arrangements. Right? So when one elder speaks in one district, it should be the whole eldership speaking. Right? Without fellowship and coordination, no one elder should speak and act independently. Right? That's why elders are plural. Whenever elders move and speak, they do so with one another. That's why there must be coordination. So, brothers, I just conclude on this. We have to realize that this is the Lord's way. It is organic. It is coordinated. It is in oneness, not only in a kind of outward oneness in an outward way, but it is in oneness where we all are brought into a fellowship, a genuine openness, a genuine respecting of one another's portions. All the gifts are utilized, all the senses of the Lord are drawn together, and when one brother acts, it's all the brothers acting.
Amen.
This is coordination in the church life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Amen. I'd say in these messages, we're coming to the heart of what it means for the Lord to build up the church. Amen. And we can see from the outline and from Don sharing that if there is not the coordination in the church among the elders, there cannot be, or they're very, very unlikely there will be any coordination in that local church. There may be meetings, there will be activities, but there will be no coordination. And if there's no coordination, then there's no body. You know, just a little. Whenever we touch this matter of the church, the coordination of the elders, the coordination is one of our words, you know. I don't know how many people use the word coordination in the world. I mean, maybe they do now in the tech world or somewhere that I'm not familiar with, right? But coordination is it's a word that we've, I'd say, almost coined as far as common use. And it means a lot of things to us. It means, well, let's get together, right? Or it means we got something to do. Who's going to do it? Or it means it means a lot of different things. And I would just say, as we touch these kinds of things, brothers, just as in the last message, we have to realize that there are matters before us whose depth we are not approaching. We have the word, we have some practice, call by that name, but the real spiritual reality is something very deep, very intrinsic, and very costly. Very costly. This is why, you know, when I was in college, I was not preparing for a career. I don't know what I was doing. But anyway, I was just studying the things I like to study, right? And so I studied political philosophy, political theory, political history, all these kinds of things about how can you get a group of people together and get them to do what you want them to do in a way that will benefit the whole. How do you do that? I mean, how does that happen? And people have been talking about that for the last 3,000 years, or at least writing about it. They've been talking about it ever since there were more than, you know, two families together in the same cave, you know what I mean, or whatever they were. I mean, this is something that everybody has to confront, right? And then I came into the Lord's recovery, and everything, every question that had ever been asked and delved into and plumbed by big minds, big thinkers, was answered in the church life. Everything that I saw in front of me was the fulfillment of what had been spoken about, written about, sought after, wars were fought over, to do what? To arrive at the corporate life of human beings. Right? This is mostly what people are occupied with in the world, right? And I saw when I came, I really thank the Lord. It was kind of a waste of time to study political philosophy, as I can testify to. I mean, what are you going to do with? I got a degree in political philosophy, right? Okay, we got a mail room opening. You know, I need somebody who knows how to make coffee. You know, or nothing. But anyway, praise the Lord. When I came into the church, amen. Hallelujah! Amen. I saw this is what God designed. This is what God has sought after. This is why he shed his blood. This is why he purchased us. This is why he's entered into us to be our life. And this is why he operates in us through the cross and by the Spirit, to bring us into a wonderful organic reality, which is the body of Christ, amen. Right? And of which the eldership is the smallest unit, I guess you would say, right? We say also the eldership should be a vital group, but it's even more than that because it encompasses and it affects and impacts the entire church in a locality and in its relationship to the work. In many, many ways. So, in this matter of coordination, I feel we have to realize that. In this book, The Heavenly Vision, Brother Lee had included a chapter on the self, as well as on the body, and in that chapter he said, "Where there's the self, there's no body." Where there's the body, there's no self. Brothers, in my experience, in my observation, in my becoming familiar with different situations in the Lord's recovery, there's not a lack of brothers who have some apostolic ministry, I don't think. And there's not a lack in the Lord's recovery of precious saints who have spent their life, given themselves to the Lord for his recovery. There's not. There are thousands. But there's a big lack when it comes to the coordination of the elders. In fact, I used to wonder, I'd hear, oh, they're having a problem over here. I said, well, this is the problem, you know, what could it be? Well, you find out, it's the elders, it's their disposition, it's their insistence on certain matters, it's their inability to appreciate others, it's their inability to recognize their own limit, it's their inability to honor the body, it's their inability to get beyond themselves. This is really bottom line. If you're an elder and you've been in the eldership for some years, I realize I'm speaking to two populations here. I'm speaking to brothers who've been in the eldership maybe for 20, 30, 40 years, right? How many of the brothers here have been serving in the eldership where they are or maybe not appointed, but you're serving as an elder where you are? How many? Raise your hand. Over 20 years. That's all? Really? Daniel, come on. It's not popular to be an elder nowadays, I guess, right? Well, I know a lot of you brothers are serving as elders and functioning as elders. You may not have the appointed title of elder, but anyway, I'd say close at least a third of you brothers, if not half. How many of you brothers are serving now? You're in this training, but you have not served in the capacity as an elder or as an appointed elder in the church. Raise your hand. You're just you consider yourself greenhorn or unlearned, right? And you're thinking about, maybe I don't like this so much after all, right? It's a little harder than I thought it might be, right? Well, brothers, for us brothers, you just who've been getting this, Minoru said, on the job training, or was that Don who said that? We're in on the job training. I think you recognize that the inability to coordinate with others is the greatest lack we have for a variety of reasons. When you get right down to it, it's mostly dispositional. And these things are going to be touched much more in the coming message. But I just want to emphasize, I think, firstly, to us all, how beautiful coordination is.
Amen.
You know, what a wonder that people, especially, you know, we're a pretty mixed bag, right? We have Koreans and Chinese and Filipinos and Americans and, you know, all stripes in between, right? And all different kinds. But we have experienced, and we're entering further into the experience of being blended with others and learning how to serve according to our measure. We're learning how to serve according to the measure allotted to us, to the grace of God given to us, right? Paul said, in Romans 12, where he said, I beg you, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, not being fashioned according to this age, but being renewed in spirit. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to be sober-minded, as God has apportioned to each a measure of faith. Brothers, I think this is the prerequisite for the body life. Then Paul goes on in the next, I don't know how many verses, to talk about the body of Christ. Brothers, if we have an inflated notion, and Paul doesn't say, notice he doesn't say, oh, and also don't belittle yourself too much. No, he realizes that's not our problem. Our problem is thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. That's my problem, that's your problem, that's all of our. Now, the humblest one among us, who seems the quietest and least confident of everything he might say, is just got the same problem as the guy who always starts the conversation off. Don't you think, right? Haven't we old-timers realized that a little bit, right? Okay, our prerequisite is that we need to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We need to think of the body. We need to think of the relationship we have with the ones the Lord has put us with. Acknowledging their needs, but acknowledging our own even more. You know, the saddest thing I see sometimes with brothers, when I'm with them, is a dismissive attitude. You know what I mean? There's a brother, he's serving in a locality. He's a very dear brother with a manifested gift in an area, certain area. But there's a dismissive attitude among the brothers toward him. What does that do? That nullifies his portion. That's a sad day. That's a sad thing. Right? Well, we only look down on those who are above, right? We only dismiss, you know what I mean by dismiss? We just diminish. We've already formed our attitude. We've already formed our opinion. And that person cannot move without confirming our feeling about them. Okay? Where's the coordination there? There's none there at all. The coordination is over. Well, as I said in the next message, the pathology or of that problem is brought out very clearly. But brothers, I hope that in this lesson, as we study it and as we enter into it in our corporate study time, we would treasure this gem of coordination.
Amen.
This is really where God's economy is in operation. It really is. It's the factor of the Lord's blessing in the church where you are. That's why Brother Lee said, if you just have a strong man, nothing avails. If you're weak but coordinated, it's tolerable. Well, amen. The Lord have mercy on us, right? And then I wanted to just point out a few things practically that might help us in our regard for the body, in our regard for the coordination among the elders. They're very simple things, but they're telltale indicators of a lack. I'm not casting the first stone here, because I'm equally, guilty. But and I didn't used to be guilty, but one day I found myself practicing a guilty. Okay. Number one, when we come to coordinate together, when the elders meet. And all the elders should meet. Do you know Brother Lee's famous guarantee? In the same book, Elders Management of the Church, he said, I tell you, you should get together and fellowship, right? Fellowship, then coordinate, right? Fellowship is finding the Lord's mind. Coordination is working it out, right? He said, come together and fellowship concerning the Lord's mind for your church. And fellowship for days. I think he said something, not just for an hour, but get into it. And then he said, if you think, well, what do we need to get into? I mean, you know, we meet on Lord's Day morning at 10 o'clock. I think the prophesying's pretty good. Prayer meetings, about 20% of the whole church. That's about average. Jacob's not going to tell me I'm a bad elder because of that. What's the problem? We increased last year. We had 5% increase. That means if you follow the rule of 72, we'll double in 15 years. Right? And Brother Lee said, if you have that attitude, if you don't feel you need more fellowship, he said, that's why you need more fellowship. You should come together and fellowship morning and evening for 5 days and pray and fellowship. 5 days. He said, if at the end of those 5 days you're not energized, you're not revived, and you haven't seen the Lord's leading for your locality, he says, then you can cut my head off. I think that's how it goes, right? We have our cut your head off guarantee from Brother Lee. You see? Okay, the elders' fellowship, the elders' meeting. Number one, turn off your cell phone. And now cell phones are much more than a cell phone. I mean, I've got my life on here, you know. Brothers, we have to, you say, well, what if my wife calls me and my kids are throwing up and my, well, it won't, your child will not be the first to ever throw up. And, you know, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. I don't know any elder who has ever gone home to a dead wife. Okay, all right, you know, I'm sorry, I hate to be so blunt, but I mean, I don't know anybody who's ever gone home, his house is on fire, his kids are all, you know, under the ashes, and if he'd only answered his cell phone, right? Really, brothers, we have to respect the brothers. Young brothers, please, you're the guys that have the most, you know, I see some of you guys have two cell phones. Please, put them away. Maybe all the elders should have a box outside. I'm sure we've, anyway. It's a small thing, brothers. Put them away, though. And texting. And looking at the news. Because you're bored. Yeah, Facebook. Oh, Lord, Facebook. Brothers, this is an indication that to us the meeting's not that relevant. I got my piece out. I'm telling you what's going on with the children's meeting, and I'm telling you what we're going to do for the conference. And after that, I'm done. What you're talking about does not interest me at all. I don't care about. You know, there was a long time in my life I didn't care about the children. Children's meeting. What's that, you know? We got to talk about more important things. Well, we have to respect the meeting, right? Turn off the cell phones. Put them away. Don't open them up for any reason, airplane mode or anything. Then number two, come on time. I know this seems like a difficult thing, and I know there are reasons for not showing up on time. If you're going to be late to the time with the brothers, call them. Call one of the brothers so that everyone, when we sit down, will know. Brother Bob is stuck in traffic. Brother Terry is sick. We have to take care to respect and care for the meeting of the elders. If we do this, then we have a modicum of respect and participation. We should do this in all kinds of coordination, not just the elders' meeting, but we should care for the body in this way. We should, and okay, then thirdly, well, I don't want to go too much into the material, and I've already gone too far. The material in the coming lesson, but anyway, brothers, let's put it this way. Let's thank the Lord for the coordination of the elders, right? And those of us who are engaged in this now, let us allow the Lord to adjust us so that we care for the coordination, we honor the other brothers, we don't think more. It's okay. You know, when I first got saved, I thought very highly of myself. Which is just the opposite of what I thought when people got saved. When people got saved, they thought they were lousy, rotten, miserable, dirty sinners. But I didn't feel that way. I felt, wow, hallelujah, I'm a God man. My self-esteem skyrocketed. Went into orbit. But in a good way. In a positive sense. But don't be careful in your attitude toward the brothers. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. Brother Paul's implying there. You should think highly of yourself. You're someone called by the Lord. You're someone appointed by the Spirit. You're someone serving in the most valuable entity on the earth. We should have a high view of ourselves. But not too much, brothers. We're members of a body. And the more you go on, the more you'll find out just what I don't have is just what that brother has. Just what I lack is what these brothers have. If we can arrive at that kind of awareness, brothers, we are on the road to being able to give the Lord his way. Right? It will be a blessing to the church. We won't be a problem case. Okay. Do I have time to read this little last thing here? This is an excerpt from The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee in the collected writings, collected works of Watchman Nee. It's volume 30, chapter 3, pages 49 to 50. I'll conclude with this because I read this many years ago and I was very touched by this and it's remained with me. And I recalled it when I was fellowshipping with Don last night. It says, the work of leading, teaching, and shepherding the flock, which we have seen to be the special duty of the elders, does not devolve upon one man only in any place, or a strong man. Okay? That's one model of eldership that I know can easily develop. Not one man, but a plurality. To have pastors in a church is scriptural, but the present-day pastoral system is quite unscriptural. It is an invention of man. In the scripture, we see that there was always more than one elder or bishop in a local church. The verses that we referred to in the beginning of the message, Acts and Titus, show that. It is not God's will that one believer should be singled out from all the others to occupy a place of special prominence, while the others passively submit to his will. If the management of the entire church rests upon one man, how easy it is for him to become self-conceited, esteeming himself above measure and suppressing the other brethren. God has ordained that several elders together share the work of the church so that no one individual should be able to run things according to his own pleasure, treating the church as his own special property and leaving the impress of his personality upon all its life and work. To place the responsibility in the hands of several brothers rather than in the hands of one individual is God's way of safeguarding his church against the evils that result from the domination of a strong personality. God has purposed that several brothers should unitedly bear responsibility in the church so that even in controlling its affairs, they have to depend upon the other and submit one to the other. Thus, in an experimental way, they will discover the meaning of bearing the cross, and they will have opportunity to give practical expression to the truth of the body of Christ. Amen. As they honor one another and trust one another to the leading of the Spirit, none taking the place of the head, but each regarding the others as fellow members, the element of mutuality, which is the distinctive feature of the church, will be preserved. Praise the Lord. This is a very dear passage on this matter. Well, let's just take a few minutes to pray from the contents of this message, and the brothers will give an announcement. Amen.